Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
20 Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Yes, yes. Magical engineer Frank, he's ready and I'm ready. We got a great show. For the first part of the show, we're going to be talking about second opinion with artificial intelligence. Yes, thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. Yeah, we're going to empower you. And before we get to that in our quack report, we're going to say a big salute and Semper Fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, mine in the time. It grows short. Today's devotional puts us in John 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Yep, you got to know the Lord Jesus if you want to live for all of eternity in the kingdom of God. So mind the time. It gets shorter every day. We're one step closer to the return of our Lord. So don't squander the time. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Franco. Okay, we got a couple of financial things today. You ever hear about WorldCoin there, Frank? This is, European Union is going through with this. You have to get your eye scanned in order to get an account with WorldCoin. And they say it just takes a memento and you'll have a digital identity before you know it. So hundreds of thousands of people in Europe have already signed up for this. What they have to do is they got to get their eye scanned by what is called the orb. And just you only have to do it once. And once your biometric data is in the database, you will receive some sort of small monetary value. As your digital identity is being created, and you can use all that stuff over the internet. So they want people to be able to confirm who they are, and with this supposedly WorldCoin digital identity orb eye scan, you should be able to shop away online. It's ultimately the goal for the entire internet public to start using this new world ID system. That's what it is. So it's a universal basic income tracker also. They call it a UBI. Spain, 150,000 people signed up. 20,000 a day are signing up in Spain. Portugal is not far behind, 120,000. Germany said also to be warming up to the project. Started expanding 2 months ago. 2 million people have signed up for biometric credentials and operating under WorldCoin. What'd you say, Frank? You said what? Gee, maybe they can also blind you if you need to be punished. Well, I don't know. Biometric scans, you know, Bible speaks of it in the forehead and the hand. All right, moving along in the Quack Report. FedCoin, here in the United States, central bank digital currency called the CBDC, as you know, is being developed by our Federal Reserve, known alternatively as FedCoin. That digital dollar is what they're working on, but experts say it's not going to be ready this year. Yeah, this is according to recent reports regarding the status of the Fed's development of the digital currency. And also, only 16% of Americans that were surveyed would use it at this point. Mm-hmm. So the Fed coin, according to this, is James Gruevig. He's with AMP News. He said the Fed coin is not ready. It is coming, but it's at this point, he says it's garbage. The Fed coin is nowhere near ready for use, and the Fed's dream of introducing at least a pilot program using it by October is also a dream, he said. It's not going to be ready this year, he said. So the Fed did launch, though, July 20, a new government-backed real-time payment system. The system called FedNow supposedly allows your consumers and businesses to send and receive money in real time within seconds. Doing away with the typical lag of 1 to 3 days that usually with the private online money transfer services offer. All right, last but not least, the Quack Report. There's a state of insomnia out there, and they did a study of what states have the worst cases of insomnia. What are the most – Frank, do you want to take a guess? What is the most sleep-deprived state in the United States? Sleep experts, what? You say New York? Okay, we're going to find out. Sleep experts from Amerisleep went on the hunt to find out where the most sleep-deprived states were. It was a sleep poll, I guess is what you want to call it, and they were using Google Keyword Planner, and they compiled a list of 96 terms related to sleeping disorders and sleep. And they analyzed them and calculated a monthly search volume of 100,000 residents for each state over the last year. And the study illustrated that people are searching for causes for symptoms of various sleep disorders like insomnia, sleep apnea, and sleep paralysis, all of which have lifestyle changes pretty much as the root cause. Now, air pollution, light pollution, noise pollution, physical activity, screen time, stress, work, life balance, and just a few other things are the many reasons people may have trouble falling asleep, staying asleep each night. Now, California topped the list, Frank, with an average of 805 monthly searches, with sleep apnea treatment and insomnia treatment being the top two search words for California. Maryland came in at second, 770 searches a month. New York was number three, 765 monthly searches. They were searching for sleep music and sleep meditation, some of the most searched terms in New York. Well, New York is called the city that never sleeps, isn't it? Massachusetts ranked fourth in the list, average of 754 monthly searches. Nevada landed as number five with 753 searches, just 1 point behind the Bay State. Georgia, Connecticut, Virginia, Texas, and New Jersey took the sixth through the tenth places on the list in that order. Sleep is important. It's important for mental health, physical health, all-around wellness, so you don't want to get sleep deprived out there. And there's herbs that can help with that. We may talk about that if we get time in this hour. And that wraps the Quack Report. That's all, folks. All right, thanks, Frank. Okay, let's talk about the second opinion with artificial intelligence. Yep. Artificial intelligence, or AI, is developing quickly, and it's being used by many industries, including your healthcare. And most health professionals do not seem to be really concerned that artificial intelligence will someday take over their occupations. The reports coming out of scientific studies are proclaiming kind of scary accuracy of artificial intelligence in diagnosing, creating treatment plans, and reading patient studies like x-rays. So medical professionals and biotech professionals are working to, quote, train artificial intelligence to do what medical doctors do with computer algorithms. So we're going to check this out. Yeah, it's all about this big data set. Reports of big data in the huge network of quantum computers is supposedly managing global amounts of information at the speed of light. How accurate these reports are is anyone's guess. But for the sake of an argument, if there is a network being set up to handle this mass amount of information on a global scale, then things could get interesting, especially with regards to security data for many reasons. Now, people may get the impression that all of this data that artificial intelligence is accessing is congruent across all borders or countries. However, that is not an accurate depiction of artificial intelligence. The best way to define AI or artificial intelligence is that it is a branch of your computer science where they are creating machines that can think and make decisions independently from humans. So the reason artificial intelligence was created is for computers to complete complex tasks that only humans could perform. And artificial intelligence systems run off algorithms, and not all algorithms are the same as they have different goals and methods. So the, quote, thinking part of artificial intelligence is to take the data, learn and improve without human intervention. And currently, there are three major categories for artificial intelligent algorithms. There's the supervised learning, the unsupervised learning, and the reinforcement learning. So recent reports from your scientists are working with artificial intelligence show concern, though, that all the AI computers are kind of talking to each other, which is an unexpected behavior. They weren't expecting that. Obviously, that was not part of the programming. And what other unexpected behaviors will AI manifest? We don't know. All right, so they did a doctor study. It's an artificial intelligence doctor study. So medical science is kind of infatuated with AI, and it continues to build algorithms to facilitate medical doctor tasks. And a new study in July 2023 from Monash University Research Facility, that's in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. Well, they have a facility there for engineering and IT, And they've been testing AI to be able to read patient studies. So the scientists designed a new algorithm regarding medical imaging studies to mimic what radiologists do when they're reading things like x-rays, ultrasounds, MRIs, or CT scans. So they want the computers to do what doctors do. Now, additionally, the algorithm, get this, offers the equivalent of a second opinion. Now, the study was published in the July 2023 Journal of Nature Machine Intelligence, and when human doctors read imaging studies, they tend to put notes on the actual study, much like a builder who makes a note on to change a blueprint. However, they call these labeled studies when the doctors do that. They have the notes on there, and these are not all scanned into a system where AI can have access to it. A lot of the notes are dictated, and those are entered into medical records. So there's limited labeled study that the AI computers can, you know, pull from. Therefore, AI is really going to have to learn what radiologists know without a lot of sufficient labeling on the x-rays. However, the scientists are confident artificial intelligence will advance in the field of radiology analysis. What do you think, Frank? If you were a radiologist and heard that, what's really freaky to me is the radiologists are working with the scientists to help teach these computers to do what they do. They have some sort of, I guess, idea that they're going to work side by side with artificial intelligence and make them look better. We're going to get to that in a minute. So here we have artificial intelligence with a second opinion algorithm. So how does the artificial intelligence offer a second opinion feature? Well, the scientists designed the algorithms into two components, or what they call a dual view. So this is where one part of the AI system mimics how the radiologists read medical images, and the other part judges the quality of the AI-generated scans and compares them against any limited data on the labeled scans from radiologists who wrote on them. Here's a quote from, this is Hamishi Paris. He's a facility engineer at the Monash University Research Facility in Australia, engineering and IT. He says, traditionally, radiologists and other medical experts annotate or label medical scans by hand highlighting specific areas of interest, such as tumors or lesions. And these labels provide guidance for supervision for training AI models. So, but they don't have all those scans available. They have a limited number. So why are they even trying to use AI for this? Well, according to the scientists, humans make many mistakes, and they feel that the artificial intelligence can do a better job, which means human radiologists are eventually going to be replaced. Let's see. This is Professor Paris again. He says, this traditional method relies on the subjective interpretation of individuals, is time-consuming and prone to errors and extended wait periods for patients seeking treatments. So they're saying the old-fashioned human way is not good enough. What do you say, Frank? They believe AI will be better slaves. Ah, yeah? Well, I think that's an error right there for them to think that. So these algorithms they've developed, the engineers developed at Monash University, use multiple artificial intelligence models to multitask the advantages of labeled and unlabeled data on image studies. So artificial intelligence computers are learning from each other's predictions, which we're told also improves their accuracy. Another quote from Paris, he said, our algorithm has produced groundbreaking results in semi-supervised learning, surpassing previous state-of-the-art methods. It demonstrates remarkable performance, even with limited annotations, unlike algorithms that rely on large volumes of annotated data. This enables artificial intelligence models to make more informed decisions, validate their initial assessments, and uncover more accurate diagnosis and treatment decisions, end of quote. Well, AI is, kind of spreading out, though. It's expanding into other areas of modern medicine. It's in medical diagnosis, like we're talking about here. It's in improving drug delivery, so the drug companies are using them. They're transforming patient experiences, which is a kind of broad description. Also, healthcare data management. Yeah, the artificial intelligence will be in control of your private information, your medical records. Now, in March 2018, the U.S. National Library Center for Biotechnology had a caution for scientists eager to launch AI in all areas of healthcare or medicine. Here is what the U.S. National Library said. They said, artificial intelligence research within medicine is growing rapidly. In 2016, healthcare AI projects attracted more investment than AI projects within any other sector of the global economy. However, among the excitement, there's equal skepticism, with some urging caution at inflated expectations, end of quote. So some people were putting the brakes on a little bit. Here is another quote from the report. They said, we should exercise caution integrating these systems into clinical practice and building a mutually beneficial relationship between artificial intelligence and clinicians for greater efficiency or cost effectiveness. Throughout the process, it will be critical to ensure that artificial intelligence does not obscure the human face of medicine, because the biggest impediment to artificial intelligence widespread adoption will be the public's hesitation to embrace any increasingly controversial technology, end quote. Yeah, will the American people trust it? This is also from the National Library of Medicine Biotechnology, but in 2020 they said this. While computer systems often execute tasks more efficiently than humans, more recently, state-of-the-art computer algorithms have achieved accuracies which are at par with human experts in the field of medical sciences. And some speculate that it is only a matter of time before humans are completely replaced in certain roles within the medical sciences. Absolutely correct. They go on to say, artificial intelligence has the potential to help fix many of healthcare's biggest problems, but we are still far from making this a reality. One big problem and barrier from making this a reality is data. We can invent all the promising technologies and medicine learning algorithms we want, but without sufficient and well-represented data, we cannot realize the full potential of artificial intelligence in healthcare. And let's see, this is also from Harvard University. They chime in. They say the future of, quote, standard medical practice may be here sooner than anticipated, where the patient could see a computer before seeing a doctor. We still seem to be far from algorithms independently operating in clinics, especially given to the lack of clear pathway for clinical approval, end of quote. Yes, Dr. Kiosk is a small step away. And my question is this. Why would scientific medicine worry about, quote, well-represented data when traditional research has such a high rate of fraud that few even bat an eye? Plus, artificial intelligence does not require a vacation, sick days, a salary or overtime pay, or even health benefits. Therefore, even imperfect artificial intelligence within healthcare is going to get widespread approval eventually, because money answers all things. Think about that a minute. Remove the human doctor, and here's Dr. Kiosk, because he's more efficient and faster and maybe smarter. I'm not going to be believing that. Frank says, if artificial intelligence remains a tool, it could be great, but if it becomes the operator to a disaster about to happen. Yeah, so the created becomes the creator or rules the creator. I've voiced that concern before myself. Well, I like traditional methods. You know, there is something positive to be said about traditional practice regarding health. Now, take, for example, the medicinal herbs used for thousands of years and are still vital medicinal tools today. And thankfully, the knowledge of medicinal herbs has not been wiped clean from our planet, leaving us in ignorance. So everyone should learn how to use herbs for wellness, because what they offer is a truly empowering experience. So I personally would rather have the knowledge to address health concerns with the natural medicine God provides us than to use the petrochemical agents offering a lot of toxicity. But that's just me. But if you would like to learn more about using the original medicine that God gave us and says in Scripture, herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and God can't lie, well, then give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Get their free herb product catalog. They specialize in immune support, metabolic support, and organ cleansing. And you can give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Their web address, The Power Herbs, and right now they have this big Friendship Day sale. It's 20% off if your order is $55 or more. Coupon FRIENDS23 at checkout, details on the homepage, or you give them a call. But you want to hurry because the sale does end on July 31st, and restrictions apply. So if you're kind of getting ready for the fall, a lot of people are doing that, Frank. If you want to get ready for the fall and, grab some things on sale, that's a good idea. You know, a lot of people going shopping and getting a lot of those discounted, didn't sell last year sweaters, for like very little money. So stocking up and getting ready for what's coming is a good thing. All right. So we got a few minutes before we have to go to break. But if you are on the powerherbs.com website, and you want to get health information each and every week for free in your email, do sign up for their newsletters. You can just click on the Books and Newsletters tab and sign up there for free. They are only delivered by email. So opt in, opt out anytime you want, and get information and share it with friends and family and empower one another. So that's a good thing. That's right. So that's email only. So if you don't have email, you can't get the newsletters. What did you say, Frank? I've been getting, $4 t-shirts. Oh, okay. Hey, I'm all for the great buy, right? I'm not kidding. I'll go to Goodwill and stuff like that, and sometimes I'll find, a little table or something or refinish it. It's fun. Oh, I can see by the clock we got to take a break. We'll be right back with more.
Into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength, why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
To developing kidney stones, nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Music, Frank. Thank you so much. Okay, so we're going to, before I forget, you know, I found this table at Goodwill. I think it was Goodwill. Yeah, or the Restore. I think it was the Restore. And it's a tiny little thing. You know, it's you know, it's something you can put between two chairs to rest, you know, your drink on or something. Anyway, it was this god-awful bright neon yellow. And but it had this trim work that you would, you know, man, you'd have to use toothpicks and toothbrushes to really get that old paint out of there. So you know what I did, Frank? I got a product called Liquid Wood, right? And you mix it up and you brush it on just like you would paint, you know, your table. You just brush it on. And there's some other steps you have to do, you know, to prepare the surface, but it's easy. And then once it dries, then you can stain that layer of liquid wood anything you want, and nobody can tell. Yeah, so you don't spend all that time, you know, with the strippers and stuff trying to get the old stuff off if you don't have the time to spend. So liquid wood, guys, it was amazing. It was crazy stuff. All right, we're going to be talking about our pets. Love our furry family friends. But this time of year, now we're in a rural area now, so you see a lot of snakes where we're at. And if you're living by a water source in the state of North Carolina, you're most likely going to run into copperheads. So pets are very curious, and they can get themselves into trouble when they investigate beehives, scorpions, spiders, and even snakes. So if your pet has ever engaged in a venom-biting standoff, you're going to know that the outcome is not so great for the pet. So vet bills for venomous bites can be in the thousands of dollars to treat. And anti-venom vaccines are expensive, and often pet owners don't even know what bit their pet, and they can't tell the vet, so to know what serum to use. So what could be the solution? Well, we're going to look into that. There's a study out in University of Queensland in Australia in 2020. They were looking at venomous bites and the frequency they occur. Because, you know, oh, man, Australia has some very venomous creatures out there. And they were looking at it with regard to cats and dogs when they're bitten by venomous creatures and how they handle the poison. According to the research, cats are more likely to survive venomous bites from snakes compared to dogs. And because the cats and dogs handle the venom differently. So they wanted to know how this was working. So Brian Fry, he's a professor at University of Queensland, he said, snake bite is a very common occurrence for pet cats and dogs across the globe and can be fatal. The fatal condition is called venom-induced consumptive coagulopathy, where you get clots. So what this means is, you know, your pet loses the ability to clot blood normally and can bleed to death. He goes on to say, in Australia, the eastern brown snake is responsible for 76% of the reported domestic pet snake bites each year. Man, that thing's deadly, the domestic brown snake. What'd you say, Frank? He says, plus, a snake is less likely to survive an encounter with a cat. Well, I guess... But cats are smart. Once they get bitten, they kind of just run away. They don't continue to poke the bear as you would. Whereas a dog, he'll continue to mess with the snake, and he'll get bit more than once. Let's look at the cats. Statistical data shows the difference between when cats are bitten and when dogs are bitten by poisonous snakes. Cats are twice as likely to survive at 66%. Dogs have a 31% survival rate. So the data also is showing us that cats have a higher survival rate if given anti-venom serums treatment. So the researchers tested snake venom from 11 different poisonous snakes and looked at the blood plasma of the pets. And what they discovered is that the snake venom works much faster in the blood plasma of a dog compared to the cats or even in humans. This suggests that dogs are going to suffer from blood clot failure sooner and are vulnerable to these types of venomous bites. And the research on this did get published in the Journal of Comparative Biochemistry and Physiology Technology, or I'm sorry, Toxicology and Pharmacology, May 2020. Well, Frank, cats hunt snakes and eat them. Well, they must be good at not getting bit so much because... too much venom, even a little bitty cat, can not be a good thing. Well, let's look at the snake bites. So we should go over how the pets react to the venom compared to how us humans do. So in humans, the venom in the blood is a problem rather than the bite site itself. In pets, it seems to be the opposite. The bite site becomes infected and blood poisoning results. Since the clotting factor is altered in dogs by the venom, they can bleed out. So the snake bite on a dog's paw can cause massive necrosis to the skin layer where the skin dies, turns black, and falls off, leaving a bloody paw. So vets have no solutions other than to give the dog pain relievers and antibiotics and try to save the paw. Now, pet owners are told that surgery and skin grafts are going to be required afterward. Here is a quote from Professor Fry. He says, without venom, the spontaneous clotting time of a dog's blood is dramatically faster than in cats, and this would make dogs more vulnerable regarding snake venoms. This is consistent with clinical data showing more rapid onset of symptoms and lethal effects in dogs than in cats. Okay, so what's the most common snake bite? Well, dogs are not only curious, they are also protective of their owners. Some snakes don't give any warning, you know, like rattlesnakes. At least you hear the rattle. And if you're in tall grass or if your dog is in tall grass and you're standing nearby, you may not even see the snake, and it's in striking distance. So dogs will instinctively move in to protect an owner, taking the bite themselves. And, you know, most bite wounds for dogs occur on the nose, mouth, or paw area. On the other hand, cats, they like to swat at a snake, so their paw can get bit there as well. Now, for dogs, the head bite can be more serious because it often involves tissue with high volume of blood vessels, and swelling is significant. And some breeds will continue to attack a snake, so they take several bites to the head. Dogs are usually more active, and this will increase circulation and spread the venom quickly. No lie, Frank, I've been in the vet and watched somebody come in with two kind of bulldogish type dogs. They were brown, kind of boxer bulldog breeds, you know, stocky, muscular, and their heads were twice the size. I was like, whoa, what happened? And the owner said, got bit by a snake. Here's some things to consider. So if you have a large breed dog, you have a better chance of saving that pet due to the body mass. So the venom can travel through small breeds faster, and the venom can also overwhelm their system unless there is on-site care. Now, most bites don't happen at the vet where you can get immediate care. They happen when you are away from home. And some exceptions are if you are dwelling near a water or a pool source, this can attract some of these types of snakes close to your home, like copperheads. So if you are within a short drive, maybe 10 minutes, you can obtain some care and know the type of snake maybe that bit your pet. You have a chance of saving your dog and cat. So if you're not close to care and you didn't see what kind of snake bit your pet, you better have a backup plan. Yeah. So here's my experience. In 2010, my 90-pound, 6-year-old black lab got bit by a poisonous snake while on a morning walk with me, and he was on a 3-foot leash. So he kind of meandered off the sidewalk cut grass area into this tall grass. And I wasn't really paying much attention. I was just, you know, waiting for him to smell like he normally does, and let's go on down the road. But he jumped straight up in the air. That's right. I walked by that area all the time when I lived in that neighborhood. And there's a little bit of tall grass in this one section. And so he's there at the edge of the grass. He jumps straight up in the air. At first I thought maybe he stepped on something sharp like a piece of glass, and it was stuck in his front paw because he came out limping. He was whining. The paw was starting to swell. I lifted him into my car and drove him down to the vet. So I was going to need help removing a piece of glass, if that's what it was, so I had to go to the vet. So upon arrival, they took him right back and they examined the foot. They did find the fang puncture wounds on the top of his right paw, and it was measured. It was an adult snake that bit him, but we didn't know what snake it was, so we couldn't use antivenom. So antivenom treatment was not possible, and so what we wound up doing is giving him the vet gave him some pain medicine, and they weren't a hospital, so I couldn't leave him there. So I had to take him home with me, put a cone on his head so he didn't lick the paw, spread out a big nylon sleeping bag so that it didn't make a mess. And, that thing, it was just crazy, Frank. That skin just turned black within hours where the venom went in, and all that tissue fell off. It was just not pretty. But it was so tender, no way I could touch that. So what I had to do is I had to go in the inside. I had to go internally. So I gave him anti-inflammation herbs. I gave him pain herbs. I gave him herbs to help regenerate tissue quickly. I gave him immune system herbs to help purge the toxins quick. And I gave him a blood cleanser. And I gave him herbs, that, just help soothe the tissue. Okay. So I want to say 2 weeks go by. It got better day by day, slowly. And then 2 weeks go by, and I take him on down to the vet, see. And I thought that vet assistant was going to pass out. She says he got bit, and so she went to get the vet. And the vet came in, and they're both looking back and forth. It was like a ping pong match with their head, which paw got bit. And they pulled the chart, and it was the right paw. And they go, "What did you do?" Because that paw had all the hair, all the skin growing back. It didn't even look like he got bit. No scar at all. And I said, "Well, I just use herbs from the inside." And, I'm sure you get a lot of pet bites coming in here. I said, "You want to know how I did that?" And Frank, the vet, said no. Because they make more money with skin grafts and amputations than they do at saving that pet the way I did. So, no, they're not going to use any herbs. So, I wasn't surprised, but I was disappointed. Obviously, we don't go there anymore. I use vets as a last resort. I don't, same thing with healthcare, trauma care, I use them. But you have powerful alternatives is the point. There are powerful alternatives that you can use to correct a situation like that, especially if you're in a remote area and you can't get help. That's your backup plan is, the medicinal herbs that, pharmaceuticals used to use for drugs. So if they were powerful enough for the drug company to use, hey, tap in. So, by the way, the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they do offer a snake bite kit. And they have one for pets and for us two-legged humans. Yeah. So thepowerherbs.com, if you want to check it out, snake bite kits are up there. And take them with you when you travel, If you're hiking, definitely take some. I mean, you can use this stuff while you wait for assistance to arrive if you want. Not going to hurt you to do that. All right, so we got a few minutes, and we are going to be, looking at foods that help prevent kidney stones. I don't know if you suffer from that, but sometimes what you're doing in the diet can encourage kidney stones. It's very common problem, especially in the United States. About 10% of the population, or 30 million people, have problems with kidney stones, and they get repeated problems with them. Males especially, 3 times more likely than women are to have kidney stones, have to pass a stone. And once you start having kidney stones, you're 40% more likely to continue to have those problems for the next 5 years, and then 80% more likely to have them over a 25-year period, unless, of course, you make some changes, and we're going to talk about that. So are some people, more prone to developing kidney stones? Well, some of the factors are that we're seeing is infections, medications you may be on, metabolic malfunctions, your diet. These all should be assessed and looked at. And it should be also noted Caucasians more likely to develop kidney stones than African Americans. So you're more likely to develop stones also if you're between the ages of 20 and 40. And if you take thyroid hormone medications or loop diuretics. Mm-hmm. So you can develop these stones. They're hard crystals. They can get separated from the urine, accumulate on the inner lining of the kidney, and the stone is made usually of calcium oxalate or phosphate. So when we don't have the proper balance of chemicals in our urine to dissolve these elements, then you're going to get stones. So what you eat affects the chemicals and the crystal content of your urine. So what should you eat to prevent the high buildup of calcium oxalate or phosphate in the urine? Well, it's easy. You don't want to eat the Western diet. So countries that adopt the Western diet, they all get kidney stones tenfold increase. So we got to look at the diet. So depending on your lifestyle, maybe your family tree, you can develop specific types of kidney stones. The calcium kidney stone is the most common, and the calcium not used by your body gets flushed out in the urine, and the calcium kind of hangs around. It binds with the other waste materials in the kidneys, and they start to form a stone. Another kind of stone is the stuvite stone, which contains a lot of magnesium and an ammonia or a waste product. These usually form after a urinary tract infection. Ever get in a urinary tract infection and the urine kind of smells a bit like ammonia? There you go. So the uric acid stone is another one. It'll form if you have too much acid in the urine. It's kind of a rarest form of kidney stone, the cystine stone. And that has elements that bind to muscle and nerve endings and builds up in the urine and can cause cystosis. So you want to be careful what kind you're getting. Obviously, you probably know what the symptoms are. Having trouble passing a stone. Big stones, people notice those. They get stuck in the urinary tract, blocks flow of urine. Big problem. Causes severe and persistent back and side pain. Other symptoms will be blood in the urine, fever, chills, nausea, vomiting, cloudy-looking urine, urine that has that bad odor we mentioned, and burning sensation when you urinate. So your physician will want to do a complete medical history, physical exam, and other diagnostic procedures, and you may be subjected to a series of x-rays of the kidneys and bladder, maybe a dye injection through the vein. The x-ray should show any tumors, stones, or other reasons for malfunction. And, of course, there is the urine analysis that will check for cells, white and red blood cells, and chemical proteins in your urine. And you will probably get a jab and have your blood taken to see if you have any unusual substances that would promote a kidney stone. A renal ultrasound may also be likely and ordered by your doctor to size up the diameter of the kidney stones if you have any. In there. So, I think the ultrasounds, man, they run like $500 or $600 now if you go to the emergency room. Well, let's talk prevention. Who wants a stone? Nobody. Here's the thing. The National Institute of Diabetes and Kidney Disease recommends you drink more water, 12 glasses a day, to flush the kidneys. Okay. And the beverages of choice that they also list, they recommended drinking fruit juice, coffee, tea, and soda. Never drink soda. Soda has too much sugar. It draws the calcium out of your bones, and you get more stones, so don't do that. So drugs that are to prevent calcium buildup are also prescribed. Dr. Stanley Goldfarb of the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine in Philly says, you want to change your diet and you want to cut out the risk. If you want to cut your stone risk in half, he says, change the diet. The Mayo Clinic agreed with him, and they ran a test of 108 patients, and they changed their eating habits and drank more water to have no kidney stones for the next 5 years. So what are the dietary changes? Well, what kind of diet is recommended? So if you're prone to the kidney stone, people that cut back on all the meats, which reduce the protein in the urine, they have fewer stones. They cut meat portions to 2 to 4 ounces a day. They boost the vegetable consumption. Vegetarians have fewer stones, according to a study in Great Britain. Their study concluded vegetable fiber was an antidote to kidney stones, mainly because it decreases the amount of calcium in the urine. Patients who, went from vegetarian diets to eating meat increased the calcium in the urine, and their risk of kidney stones went up. Also, a study of Halifax Stone Clinic at Camp Hill Medical Center found that those who ate more wheat or corn bran fiber dropped the calcium in the urine significantly, reduced the recurrence of the kidney stones 60%. Be careful with the corn and the wheat these days. 97% of the corn's GMO. It increases the likelihood of inflammation. And your wheat that's not organic here in the United States is full of glyphosate. Also, after World War II, the people in Japan started to eat more of a Western-type diet, and their cases of kidney stones tripled. This was a study out of Kinki University in Osaka. They tested 370 patients, and those that drank more water and ate more vegetables with their meats avoided large dinners, and they ate early in the evening and not late before bed, were 60% less likely to develop kidney stones. And interestingly, it was the diet that worked. If a patient had even high calcium in their urine and were taking prescribed medications, when they adjusted the diet, they lowered the risk as well. Here's some foods you want to avoid. Foods high in oxalate will produce more oxalate in the urine, creating stones. So foods like sweet potatoes, baked beans, blackberries, rhubarb, spinach, peanuts, tea, and chocolate. And you're probably wondering about reducing your animal calcium foods like dairy, and cutting back on this is really not a bad idea, but severe calcium restriction boosts oxalate in the urine and can cause a stone, so you want to get a nice balance. So the key would be to get your calcium in your vegetables rather than animal product. Also, you can get calcium in fruits and herbs. Now, let's see. This is doctors at the Harvard School of Public Health. They conducted a large study of over four years and found that men who ate calcium lowered their risk of stones 34% over the men who restricted their calcium intake. So the study revealed that calcium helped prevent oxalate from entering the blood and filtering through to the kidneys. The study said it was the calcium in natural foods that did this and not calcium supplements. Beverage of choice, of course, if you don't want to suffer, water, lots of water. Restrict alcohol to moderation or just cut it out altogether. Dilute your citrus juices with a little bit more water. Other beverages you want to avoid is a lot of tea and hot chocolate and sodas. These studies recommend that you drink 8-ounce glasses of water every 4 hours while you're awake. So if you need other assistance, there are some herbs that help cleanse the fine filters of the kidneys to get those particulates off that accumulate to make stones. It's the Kidney Bladder Cleanse Kit. If you're looking for that at thepowerherbs.com, you can also give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. And it's the Kidney Bladder Cleanse Kit. It's a tea and a tincture combination. It's about a 2-week cleanse. They also have a kidney stone formula. So if you suspect you may be having stones and you got some discomfort, that stuff works pretty quick at helping to dissolve the stone. I mean, think about it. Are we going to dissolve the stone or are we going to pass the stone? Personally, I would rather dissolve it than try to pass it. So those herbs are available at the website, thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call at 866-229-3663. You have tools. Yes, you do. So check that out. And sign up for the newsletters at thepowerherbs.com. If you have email, just click on books and newsletters and sign up. They're delivered each week. Now, tomorrow, the Health Quest goes out, and next Tuesday, American Survival. So you have two choices there. Sign up for free. Don't forget the Friendship Day sale is underway. Save 20%. Details online or give them a call at 866-229-3663. But hurry, the sale ends on July 31st. Wow, I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.